Today's reading is from 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. Or please turn to 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21 in your Bible, or turn to page 984 in the Bibles provided for you. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
Throughout different Sundays, we have spoke about heroes of the faith. And can you go to the next slide? I forgot to bring my slide projector. Everything's a little different this morning. And this is Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was known for working with the Underground Railroad, helping bring people from the darkness of slavery to the light of freedom. Next, we have Nicholas Winton. Nicholas Winton is an unknown man by history. Yet, before World War II started, he helped deliver Jewish children to homes to get them out and away from the Nazis. He rescued some 600 children. Jewish parents willingly gave them his kids so that they could get to freedom, knowing that they could not. And he took those children and found homes for them. And then lastly, we have Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, and she helped end child slavery and prostitution for the young kids. She single-handedly had laws changed to protect youth. All three of these individuals were a light shining in the darkness. To many of these children, they were condemned to a dark world. But these three individuals rescued them and were a light shining. In many ways, just like our teachers here today, maybe they weren't as dramatic as these three individuals, but each one of our teachers here today, whether in the nursery or throughout the weeks, they are helping bring the light of Jesus Christ to little children before them. Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for those we have seen in history who are willing to do what is necessary. And Lord, we thank you for those in our community, in the surrounding area, other churches, other teachers, other VBSs, other high school ministries, youth groups, all reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ, passing the torch to the next generation. We're thankful, Father, for your grace and mercy in all this. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. So we're going through 2 Peter, and in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says, Peter says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." He's reminding them what we studied last week, earlier in the chapter. He talked about goodness and faith and knowledge and mutual affection and love. And he was telling this to the individual churches throughout what is Turkey today. They were spread out about keeping these things and growing in the faith. And he's reminding them of this. Our actions matter. What we do. He said we gotta have goodness. We gotta have knowledge. We have to have faith, mutual affection. We have to love each other. And these things and the way we treat each other matter. They help build a foundation in our lives, preparing us for the good works that God has in advance for us to do. And then he says in verse 13, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Peter is not a pessimist. He understands that maybe at this point in his life, time might be short, and he has a good grasp of eternity and where his faith is, and he's preparing. We can do this in many ways. You know, sometimes people simply, as they get ready for retirement, they declutter, they clean up to leave less for their children to take care of. It's a nice thing to do. But even young or old, we can all declutter our life and prioritize what is important. Now, for me as a child, this was difficult because my father was a depression child. And depression children who grew up to be adults saved everything. We had more baler twine than you could imagine. Bundles of baler twine. Because you never know when you might need baler twine. I actually still miss the smell of that stuff. Because you'd walk into the barn or into the basement and you could just smell the baler twine. But my dad needed to learn to declutter. Because those things would get in the way. And decluttering, focusing on what's important, helps us to examine our lives and to see where we're at and where we're going. And that's what Peter's doing. He's realizing that his time with them might be short, and he wants to prepare them and make sure they have the necessary tools. And so we too should take that same thought, preparing the next generation, looking at our own lives. What are we doing with the time that we have given? And then in verse 15, and I will make every effort. He goes, I'm going to really work hard at this so that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He's really going to work hard to pass on to those churches. Now, they don't have Facebook. They don't have smartphones. They don't have telephones. They don't have books. We take books and paper for granted. They didn't have that stuff. He's like, so I'm going to really work hard, get these letters out to you, and I just really want to pass this faith on to you. He's thinking about more than just himself. Like, you know, I need to retire and live the good life. Maybe find a beach home and just hang out. I mean, think about Harriet Tubman. She gets her freedom, and she's like, I like my freedom. And then she does the crazy. She risks being re-caught to free others. That's selfless. No one asked for Nicholas Winston to rescue those children. He saw need before him. He saw what was happening. He saw those parents couldn't do anything. He's not Jewish. And he rescued those kids. Amy Carmichael, as a woman there in a very patriarchal world at that time, risked her own life for rescuing these children. In one generation, we can make great changes. Some people will say, VBS, Vacation Bible School, that's from the 90s. But maybe it is, I don't know, but here's what it is. It's form versus function. VBS is one way to do it. And what's the function? To raise up the next generation, show them the light of Jesus Christ. I really don't care what the form is. You know, if we had to do rap, and you don't want me doing rap, maybe blues, maybe I couldn't even manage the blues. But if that's what we needed to reach the kids, then that's what we need to do. I just thank God it's not disco. But if that's what we needed to do, that would be the form for the function of reaching these kids. And you know, when I look back on this week, you know, it was three nights of EBS, but there was the night before Monday, decorating. I couldn't believe all the decorations. I mean, I just thought it'd be kind of simple. And then tape these days just doesn't last like it used to. We had to go back and retape stuff. We come back the next day and it fell off. I mean, just the work everybody put in and the planning even before that. And, you know, from outside soccer, from doing snacks, from the lessons to the pottery. It was just so great to see everybody coming together for the function of raising those kids up in the next generation. He says, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you'll always be able to remember these things. He's like, I'm going out of my way. Peter is being selfless, like Harriet Tubman. You know, if you're a selfish person, this is advice I often give. Don't get married. And if you're a selfish person and you get married, hope you didn't marry another selfish person. Well, maybe I do. Don't have children. If you're selfish and you have children, you're in big trouble. If you're selfish, don't get a dog. Get a cat. That's my advice. And even then, probably you should get a hamster. So, rather than being selfish, we are called to purposely reveal the truth, the light of Jesus Christ, as revealed in Scripture, revealed in our Bible, for our hope in Jesus. So our hope in Christ, as we see in Scripture, read in verse 16. Peter says, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were an eyewitness to his majesty. The truths of Scripture, they reveal Jesus Christ. They tell us who he is. And by God's empowering presence, we live out that life. Now, some people are going to say, well, we really don't believe the Bible. And I get it. Can I prove to you God exists? Probably not. I mean, I'd say, what would you take as proof? You know, I can ask, can you prove God doesn't exist? And can we trust Scripture? Now, I'll tell you, when you read the Bible, sometimes there's difficult things to read in the Bible. You know, how many anointings of Jesus were there? What about Matthew and Luke's genealogies? And how many cleansing the temples? There's probably, you know, a handful of things that are difficult to explain. There are. But you know why I'm not even really, I mean, I'm concerned, I want to learn those things, because historically, we've had a lot more questions, and we've been able to figure them out. You know, when I was a kid, there was no King David. He was a total myth. Then we find proof that he exists. Pilate didn't exist. Then we find proof he existed. And then we are told things like the Hittites. And the Hittites are all over the Bible. There's no such thing as the Hittites. And then we find out the Hittites really existed. And it's time to come down. They're tired. And, you know, the Old Testament kings, there's lots of kings listed. And people say, well, these kings really didn't exist. The time is not right. And then we find other kings from Assyria, like Sennacherib. He writes on these clay tablets. It's called a prism. And he's talking about Hezekiah. And there's other proofs about Hezekiah. Some 2,500 years ago, we find proof. It's all coming down. We find proof of what the Old Testament is talking about. Over and over again, we see the truths of Scripture revealed. So yes, when we have questions today, I want to answer those questions. Sometimes when kids ask, like, well, why is this and this? And sometimes they say, we don't know. But I'm betting we'll find out. Because these scriptures, sometimes I don't really worry about things that sometimes are troubling because we want to learn them. But the things that they reveal in Jesus Christ are life's transforming. You know, as we like to say, come as you are, but don't expect to stay that way. Christ is a transforming power in our lives. And then when we look at Scripture and Jesus Christ, you know, it says He is the creator of all things. I mean, the mystery of Christ is unfathomable. Fully God and fully man. And that's what Scripture reveals to us. Because the question is, you're going to ask, where does God come from? I remember asking that question to my mom. How can God be forever? And I think I just gave her a headache. Because she gave me the, just trust me, son. I got a question. If you don't believe in God or where we came from, where did nothing come from? How did nothing create a universe? How long has the universe been here? How did nothing create life? There is the mystery of where God is, where He came from. He is unimaginably beyond us. But I'm going to tell you something. Once you have God, you have everything. So you get a universe. Where do you get life from? How do you get a bunch of dead matter to become alive? You don't. And in this scripture, we see the truths of Jesus revealed, that He is light into the darkness. And it's not that the Bible is anti-science. It's not Bible versus science. Really, the problem is the Bible's answering questions and telling us things sometimes we don't want to know, that we need Him, that we're lost without Him. And it doesn't always answer the questions we wish it did. It just doesn't. But what it does do is reveal the hope of Christ for all of us. And then in verse 17, He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came down to Him from majestic glory saying, "This is My Son, Jesus Christ, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven. Peter was an eyewitness that his disciple of Jesus came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. See, the thing about God, His vastness is beyond comprehension. We live in a universe that's like 90 billion light years across, and then that's only as far as we can figure out, and God's beyond that. And yet God is up close and personal. It's hard to imagine that a God of the universe, that big, that awesome, that beyond creation and time, cares about each of us here as individuals and around the whole globe. And He calls us to Him. Listen to these words that He speaks from Ezekiel 33. "As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so that they can live. Turn from your wickedness." He wants us to follow Him and to turn from evil and do what's right. From 2 Peter, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He wants what is best for us. There is judgment, but there is a God who desires us to follow Him and turn the judgment away. From 1 Timothy, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. That man is Christ Jesus." This is the Missio Dei, the sentness of God. We cannot understand the Trinity, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Spirit is not Jesus or the Father, but He's God. Jesus is not the Father or the Holy Spirit, but He's God. The Father is not the Son or the Holy Ghost, but He's God. The triune God, Trinity, totally beyond us. And in the Trinity, in eternity past, decides to send the Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth reveal the truth and hope that he offers all of us. The mystery of Christ is profound, fully God, yet fully man. Our minds really can't fully understand that. But God is up close and personal and comes among us. He walked among us, showing us hope and salvation. In Christ, we have hope and purpose for all who call on his name. For those living in darkness, some of you might be going through some dark and difficult times right now. And he is the light shining to bring us hope. And Peter here then says, we all have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. He relies on Scripture. And you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place. It behooves us to read Scripture and listen to it. It brings the light of Christ to us. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Scripture is not just words written on paper merely by men. They are inspired by the hand of God. His Holy Spirit dictated and superintended, speaking through people as they wrote down his Scripture, revealing the hope of Christ and light and darkness. We will often go through difficult and dark times, and yet we are told that God's empowering presence is there to comfort us. I can't promise you that he'll take the difficulties of life away. In fact, we would know that often that does not happen. But what we do know, he shines his light in our hearts, and he's there with us through the darkness. And yes, in the end, there will be no more tears and no more sorrows, and we will fully see the light of Christ in heaven. But until then, there will be difficult days, but his light still shines in our heart and offers us hope and purpose. Today, let us choose to follow Christ anew, or to continue to commit to him, continue to raising up the next generation. Some of you are probably already thinking, VBS, thank the Lord that's over. And some are thinking, what are we going to do next year? What are we going to do next month? The harvest party is right around the corner. Because we're always thinking, how do we reach others for Christ? Let us turn to the God of hope. Let us be willing to raise up the next generation. It would have been easier for us not to have done VBS. It would have been. But when you see the kids, even the one running around back over here, grabbing a mic, a future televangelist, it's worth every penny. It's worth every blister. It's worth staying up and planning. We are called to be the light in the darkness, representing Jesus Christ, shining for the next generation that is in deep need of his love and grace. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, let your light shine in our hearts as we go forth. We thank you for everyone that worked in VBS and all that they did, Lord. And we are so gracious and thankful for that. In your holy name, amen.